Creating Change with Doug Foresta, a show dedicated to creativity and emotional healing. Creating Change on Empower Radio.
EmpowerRadio.com.
Here's your host, Doug Foresta.
Hello, Ed. Welcome to Creating Change. This is your host, Doug Foresta. And in this episode, I want to talk about something that's been on my mind recently, which is about loving the moment and mourning the loss and the connection between living in the present moment while acknowledging grief that sometimes comes along with change. And I'll bring this around, I promise, to your voice and the importance of sharing your voice and building community, all of that. But I want to start with something that probably isn't readily apparent that there is a connection to all those things. And it's an article that I came across by Tim Carman of the Washington Post. And he talks about the title is, "To Some Eaters, a Restaurant's Closing Means Grief and Guilt." And what he says is that there was a restaurant called Raise the Classics in Silver Springs, Maryland, and the Classics Restaurant in Silver Springs, Maryland, which actually, it's funny because I actually used to live in Silver Springs many years ago. And one of the things they talked about is that this restaurant, I guess, it was a big place, you know, it was a very famous place. You know, so this woman had given birth to a baby boy. She had 30 hours of labor without food. She turned to her husband and said, "Get down to the Classics and get me a hell burger." He says it wasn't so much a request as it was a demand. And the restaurant now is going out of business. And, you know, people are having these feelings of loss around the restaurant going out of business. And of course you say, well, you know, it's not grief. It's not like losing a loved one. It's not, you know, why does that bother us? You know, it's interesting too, because recently on Facebook, someone that I used to work with in New York in the 1990s was talking about different restaurants and different places that are going out of business, different, you know, places that were famous, you know, really famous places, like the Second Avenue Deli was one of them, many others. And, you know, they're just going out of business as the city changes. And I know that I have felt that myself. You know, I definitely have felt that experience of just feeling this sense of loss. And, you know, the article goes on to say that, you know, to some, restaurants are just businesses that are purely transactional experiences. But for others, they're places where friends meet, birthdays are celebrated, special occasions are toasted, and memories made. And when a restaurant closes, it's what the author calls a disenfranchised loss, which are personal losses that are not publicly recognized as personal losses. And there's a couple of ways in which he goes on to say that the, you know, people think that grief can only come after the loss of a loved one, but truly grief can come after any perception of loss. And I'm sure that if you're listening to this and you've had any amount of life experience, that you've experienced losses, a divorce, right, losing a job, or again, you know, just the loss of a neighborhood restaurant. And, you know, why is that so important? And he goes on to say, like, why would that be such a loss, you know, to lose a neighborhood restaurant? And there's many reasons. You know, it's the loss of the connection to that place. It also immediately makes you someone who is one of the people who will remember when that place is there. And then there'll come along other younger people who won't even remember that place is there, right? It might mark the beginning of the end of an era. You also become part of, as the author says, part of a marginalized community. And again, you know, it's like I used to think about older people who would talk about, you know, this used to be there and this used to be there. And I always remember when I was younger and I think, who the hell cares, you know, what used to be there? I mean, let's focus on what's there now. And I think as I get older, I kind of get it, you know, that it's that memory and meaning making of connecting to a place. So what does that have to do with your voice? What does that have to do with anything, right? Well, the reason it's been on my mind is thinking about, you know, as we, as entrepreneurs, as authors, as coaches, as people who want to create movements, you know, part of what we want to do, right, is not just create a website or, you know, to use the example of a restaurant. I mean, you can open a restaurant and give people food and then they give you money and it's a transactional experience, right? It's a purely transactional experience. But what we want to do is we want to create more of that relational connection, right? We want people to to feel connected to us and to feel like if they were to walk away from this community, that there would be a sense of loss. Because it's only the only way that we can feel a sense of loss is if we have a sense of connection in the first place. So thinking about, you know, I like the idea of thinking about how do we create communities? How do we create experiences and connections with our with the people that follow us to where if that connection were to be disrupted, that we would feel that sense of loss? Because I think that is a barometer of the level of connection that we might have. And, you know, I'm not going to go too much into the how in this episode, but more so thinking about the importance of doing that, the importance of creating connection. In future episodes, I'll go more into that whole, you know, creating a deeper connection with your audience. But for today, I really want to focus on this idea of the importance of holding the intention to do so. And the other thing I was thinking about is that it forces us to, you know, in a way, loss forces us to be more present. You know, I think loss invites us to be more present in the moment, because I think I've talked about this before in another episode, but there's a book called What Happy People Know. And in that book, you know, at the end of the book, there's a quote, and the author talks about, you know, this woman who's had a lot of losses in her life. And he says to her, "How have you made it through? You know, how have you gone through this?" And she said, "It's simple. You know, every moment there's loss and there's change. And the important thing is that we have to love the moment more than we mourn the loss." And, you know, I guess, like I said, I think it's just been on my mind because part of change, of course, is loss, right? When we go to change something, there is loss on the other side of that, right? Loss of the old thing, a loss of what was and what won't be anymore. And I think it's really important that we acknowledge that. You know, I've just been, like I said, I mean, I've been thinking about it a lot with restaurants going out of business, with places. I've been thinking about it a lot with this idea of places. So the restaurant thing really was an example for me that it hit home. You know, even when I go back to New York, there's so many places that are closed, or most recently, as of this recording, Toys R Us is closing down. And I remember being a kid and going to Toys R Us. And most recently, you know, I brought my son, my 13-year-old son, and my 10-month-old daughter. I took them to Toys R Us a couple weeks ago. And now that they're closing down, I realized, you know, my daughter will not even remember Toys R Us. She won't even remember that that was a place. You know, I'll be able to show her pictures, but she won't remember it, right? And I think one of the things that we have to do is we have to find a way to stay in the present moment more than we allow the losses to swallow us whole. And I think when we're creating communities and we're thinking about change and intentionality and change, it's the same way. You know, if we're going to lead people towards change, and that change is going to lead to, you know, let's say you're leading a community of people for recovery from substances, right? And I've done a lot of work with this. You know, the idea is, I mean, you're inviting people to, yes, a better future, but at the same time, I mean, you're inviting people to a lot of loss, you know, the loss of maybe all the people that they knew that they used to hang out with and do drugs with, the loss of the places that they used to go, you know, people, places, and things, the loss of their identity as a person who does certain things and no longer does them, you know, so many losses. I mean, we can go on and on and on, but yet, you know, what does it take to become sober? What does it take to make a change in your life? It takes a focus on the present moment, right? It takes a leap of faith. It takes visioning a better future, or at least a future that is good, right? And where the pros outweigh the cons. And, you know, I think maybe, like I said, maybe it's just that I'm getting older and I'm thinking about this more because there are more of these losses and there is so much change that's happened in my life in the last 6 or 7 years, that I start to realize how important it is to really live in the present moment, to appreciate all that we have right now, and not only live in the present moment, but also, I think the other piece is, aside from, you know, love the moment more than you mourn the loss, I think the other piece of it is that it's really important as well to envision the future. The first podcast actually I ever had on Empower Radio. The first program was called Imagining the Future. And although that show was not successful, I do think that idea of imagining the future is a really important one. So, like I said, I think that this is really something to think about if you are someone who is leading change. You know, you're someone that is creating communities for that are around change. And of course, if you're listening to a show called Creating Change, I'm going to assume that that's probably you. That when we invite people right into these new worlds, as we invite people into a new journey, we have to remember, you know, that we're asking them to give up a lot. You know, so that's one piece of it. And then, as I said, the other piece of it is that we do want to create a connection with people that is so valuable that if we weren't in their lives, that they would feel that sense of loss. And if we don't, then I think we're really in a transactional place. Think about, for example, email lists. You know, if you're on someone's email list, have you ever been on somebody's email list? Maybe you were interested in getting an ebook or something and you signed up for it and you popped your email in, and then, you know, you're getting these emails from people. And finally, you know, one day you're just like, you know what? I've had enough. I'm ready to stop getting these emails. They're annoying. And so you unsubscribe. And if you really haven't ever invested in that person, maybe they haven't sent you any podcasts or videos or provided any real value to you, or you just didn't feel connected to them. And so what happens? Well, you unsubscribe and your life moves on. There is no sense of loss, right? There's just maybe even the sense of relief that it's one less email that you'll be getting. It's important that we not end up in that place. I was reading a quote from Dori Clark, who is, she does a lot of work with how to be a freelancer, and it's D-O-R-I-E Clark, C-L-A-R-K, Dori Clark. And she was saying that, you know, as a freelancer, as a consultant, we must never allow ourselves to become a commodity. I think that's so true, you know, and I think the restaurant thing is such a great example of that. You know, the idea that you would miss a restaurant so much that you would feel that loss deeply, right? Because why? Because it wasn't just a place that you got food. It was a place where you had memories. It was a place, again, it's connected, you know, for this one woman who had a baby, you know, that memory of the first thing that she did after she gave birth is send her husband to get this hell burger. God knows what that is. I've never eaten at this place. But think about for yourself. I mean, I want to challenge you to think about this for yourself. You know, think about a place from your own childhood that you remember, a store, a restaurant, a space that had meaning for you that's gone now. Maybe it's gone, or maybe you've left, right? Maybe it's still there, but you've left. But something where you feel a sense of loss. I know for myself, you know, when I think about places like that, you know, when I go back to New York City, oftentimes, you know, one place for me that I used to really like going to was the Toys R Us. There was a flagship store in Toys R Us. And that actually has only been around, I think it was about 10 years maybe. But the flagship store had all kinds of things inside it. It was, you know, multi-floors, and it had, what do you call that? Not a a merry-go-round inside the store. And I take my son there. I took my son there many times and hung out there with my friends. And it's a place that had a lot of meaning to me. And the fact that it's gone, definitely, you know, when I go back to the city and now it's, I forget what it is, but it's some clothing store, I think. And it just, you know, it hurts, you know, there's a way in which I feel the loss of that. You know, I feel the loss of that place existing. Because again, you know, it wasn't so much that it was a place where I went to buy toys. I could have ordered toys online, but it was the place, it was the memories, it was bringing my son there, it was meeting, you know, friends and family there. That was the piece that really, that, you know, that I really felt the loss of. Think about that for yourself. You know, if you're building community, how do you create something that is an experience that people attach to? And you know, a couple of different ideas. I will give you some ideas. Obviously, if I'm going to be asking this question, I will give you some ideas. You know, one thing is obviously to send people content like podcasts or videos. You want to make sure to send them something. You know, blogs can be great as well. I personally like the idea of podcasts or videos because people can hear you or they can see you and they feel that connection to you. I think doing it in a way that's consistent, so maybe you show up every Monday in their inbox and they get to know you, being vulnerable, interacting with people, maybe doing Q&A calls or maybe Facebook Lives, Q&As. I talked about in Tips and Trends for 2018, I talked about this idea that, you know, I think that the future is definitely going to be in, you know, part of the future at least is in a live streaming video. So all those things can help with deepening that connection to the people that you serve. But the bottom line is, like Dory Clark says, you can't allow yourself to become a commodity because there's always somebody that's going to do it cheaper than you. There's always somebody that's going to be willing to undercut you on price. And so the relationship that you have and the experience that you create with people, that's going to be the thing that really keeps people going. I wonder, just on a deeper level, I want to explore this idea of, like I said, the idea that every moment in a way is loss. And yet at the same time, we have to find a way to live in the present and we have to find a way to vision our way into the future, because, you know, we can't allow ourselves to be swallowed up into the past. And yet at the same time, I think we have to allow the past and we have to allow losses to inform us. And I just want to go a little bit into that because, like I said, it's been on my mind. And if you are someone who is looking to move people through the process and change, I think we have to acknowledge this piece about grief. I think it's one of the biggest things that stops people from changing. And, you know, when I used to do work with young people who were smoking marijuana, I would do some narrative work with them because they would often come in and say, you know, come on, man, I'm just smoking weed. It's all natural. It's an herb. You know, I've heard it all. And, you know, they say, it's not a big deal. I can stop anytime I want. And so what I would do is I would take this narrative approach with them and I would say, all right, what I'd like you to do is I'd like you to write a goodbye letter to marijuana. Don't actually stop using it. You know, I would tell them that. Don't actually stop using it. But I'd like you to write a goodbye letter as if you were going to stop using it, if you really were going to. And when people did the exercise, inevitably what would happen is they would come back and they would be in tears and they would say, either this is too painful, I couldn't finish doing it, or they actually would finish it. And what they came to realize was how deeply connected they were to that substance. So they would, you know, they would come back in and they would say, you know, you've been with me my whole life, meaning, you know, if they're writing a goodbye letter to marijuana as a character in their life, as you know, they would say, you've always been with me, you've done so much for me, I'm going to miss you. And they would find themselves realizing that what they thought was an easy change or an easy fix, that the depth of connection and the depth of grief that would go along with making a change was so great, much greater than they ever imagined. And that's why, you know, things like just say no don't work. You know, we had in the 80s, you know, just say no. And it, you know, nobody watched that commercial, I would be willing to say and willing to bet, and said, okay, I'll just say no to drugs, because it really missed that crucial part. And any change, I think, you know, likewise, any change that we're asking people to make, you know, whether it's weight loss, whether it's, you know, now I think one of the things we're asking people to do is think about their attitudes towards diversity, inclusion, you know, and explore our own beliefs about people who are different than us, right? And we say, okay, we're going to do this. We're going to change this. And so one of the things that we have to do, I think, with that is we have to acknowledge and mourn the losses that come with that. So, you know, what losses would come along if I'm going to be saying to myself, all right, we're going to change, you know, in the era, let's use the Me Too example, you know, in the era of Me Too, well, we're going to have to change our culture. What are some of the losses that we're experiencing? Well, I mean, some of the losses we're experiencing are that people that maybe comedians and actors and, you know, people, interviewers and people that we really liked and looked up to, all of a sudden they're fallen idols and they're gone from the public spotlight and we may never see them again, right? So that's one loss right there. And then there's the loss of, you know, the loss of our own belief in how people are and maybe the loss of the way things used to be. I mean, there's so many losses that we could go on and on about, but, you know, we have to acknowledge that. We have to acknowledge that when we're asking people to make big changes in their lives, transformational changes, or when we're leading a movement that requires that kind of transformational change, that it's not a little thing. You know, it's not a tiny thing to ask people to do that. When I, you know, even doing podcasting, you know, when we come in, talk to organizations and say, okay, you need to embrace digital storytelling, right? And people say, well, you know, we've always done it this way and we've had flyers and we've had meetings in person and now we're going to do this other thing. There's a loss that's involved in that. There's a huge loss in terms of, you know, letting go of the old way of doing things. And we shouldn't discount that. We develop attachments. And at the end of the day, as human beings, I think we become attached pretty quickly to people, to places, to things. And that's a good thing. You know, I think it's good that we are attached. I know that, you know, in Buddhism, the idea is to live with no attachments. But I also think that as human beings, you know, there are good attachments, right? There are the attachments to the people that we love. There are attachments to, you know, our favorite, you know, what about a favorite meal that you really like or a favorite piece of music that brings you back to a certain time period or a favorite smell that brings you back to childhood, whatever it is, you know, those attachments can be good attachments, but even a good attachment can get sticky and it can prevent us from A, living in the present moment and B, imagining a better future or a different future. And the problem is that the world is constantly changing. Alan Watts talked about this in The Wisdom of Insecurity, this idea that as human beings, we're caught up in this dilemma. We want the world to change, but we don't want it to change. And he says, you know, if you look at, for example, a pond, you know, the water is still, and so there's that stillness which we like, but you can't drink water out of a pond because it's dirty and because it pools, you know, bacteria and all kinds of things. You know, you'd want to drink water from a stream because a stream is flowing, right? And the flow is what is, that's what life is. Life is flowing like a stream. And yet we get caught up because life sometimes flows too fast. You know, it flows faster than our ability to change. And I think as leaders, if we're going to be leaders of change movements, we have to see ourselves in a way as people who can help others manage their grief and manage their resistance to loss, which is also their resistance to change. So I think that, and I think that starts within ourselves. You know, I feel like I could probably do a couple of different episodes about this because it really is something that I think is very deep. And I don't mean it's very deep because I'm very deep. I just mean it's very deep because the nature of life and the nature of existence is very deep. But I mean, really think about it. You know, again, I want to challenge you to think about this. What's something that you're holding on to? What's a recent loss? It could be anything. It could be something small. You know, maybe you had to turn in your old car. You know, what's a loss that you had to let go of? I'll share with you one story just before we close here that, as you know, if you listen to this, I got divorced in 2011. And the only thing I really came out with was my car. You know, I had my car. And in 2013, on my 40th birthday, right on my 40th birthday, my car died. And I decided that it was just not worth it to put the money into it to fix it. So I was just going to sell it and junk it, actually, and get a new car. And so I called this place where they, you know, they come tow your car away. They give you like $200 and they just use it for scrap parts. And I had to as I was waiting for the tow truck to come, I had to take one more look. I just wanted to take one more look through the car just to make sure there wasn't anything in there that I needed. And as I was going through the, you know, the different compartments, I found my wedding ring from, that I had taken off in like the last therapy session that my ex and I had, and I had just stashed it away somewhere. And I got rid of the wedding ring and I got rid of the car, and it was hard to do, you know, it was really, really painful to let go of those things. And it was just funny that the last thing in that car was the wedding ring. And the car itself, you know, I cried over that car. And that sounds silly, right? It's just a Toyota Corolla, but the car sort of represented the last piece of this old life. And it was just interesting that the last thing I pulled out was this wedding ring. And for me, it was just the sign that I needed to let this go. And those losses are always there, right? I needed to let that car go. and I got a better car. You know, I have a car. I like my car now. And guess what? Now I'm attached to this car. And if I lost this car, I would feel a loss of it, right? But change is that. It really is that river, you know, that constantly moving, flowing, alive river. And as human beings, we're not always super excited about that. So I know I've shared a lot in this episode, but it's been on my mind. And again, you know, think about how you as a thought leader can help people in that change process, in that grief process, and how you can create positive attachments with your audience, you know, that keep them in a good way attached to you. Thanks, everyone. As always, keep creating. The world needs your voice. Take care. See you next time on Creating Change.